This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. You probably don't know Stephen Levitin, but you will know his alter ego, the Apple Juice Kid. This is especially true if you're on the campus of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and you want to take one of those particularly popular classes that he teaches. It's a beat-making lab in the School of Music, and it's the brainchild of Apple Juice Kid along with Professor Mark Katz. This past spring, Apple Juice Kid joined musician Pierce Freelon to teach the traditions of hip-hop and electronic dance music. Beats like this one. Now they've taken their beat-making lab to the Democratic Republic of Congo, and soon they're heading to Latin America. But first, they join me in the studio to tell us about the project and about making beats in class. Apple Juice Kid, Pierce Freelon, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
It's great to be here, hearing our music.
So, Kid, tell us a little bit about this lab. How did this idea come along?
Come on, Kid.
Kid. That's a first.
You're just a kid.
How did this come along? Yes, I was a guest lecturer in Mark Katz's one of his courses about 2 years ago. We became friends, and I approached him with the idea of doing a beat-making lab course at UNC. He immediately told me he had very similar ideas, and we just clicked, started playing racquetball, talking about how we're going to make this class happen. We fairly immediately got approval, and we knew it was going to be extremely popular with the students.
And you are also interested in the entrepreneurial side of this as well, right? Tell us about that.
Yes. Yeah, so when I was a student at UNC, there was no entrepreneurial focus. Now it's really popular. And it was one thing that I really wish I had when I was a student. And I was very excited to teach not only the practical part, but the entrepreneurial. How do you make a living doing this?
That is the interesting part, because you think the kids are out there, kids like you, Apple Juice Kid, who are out there making beats and doing this kind of stuff. And we think of it as, you know, people in the streets and they're figuring it out and they're listening. They don't need to go to college to learn this. But then making a living, that's a whole other question. I mean, it's not to say there's not a lot to learn and there's not a lot about being together in an academic environment where you're working with other creative people. I mean, that's helpful. But making a living, that's a whole different part of this business.
Yeah, well, one of the positive sides of being a student at UNC when I was there was the critical thinking and community that I got, and that's still present. And I think just adding the entrepreneurial focus just kind of rounds the picture of a good education.
So, Pierce, what attracted you to this project?
Beat making. I mean, it's such an awesome new realm. That I'm familiar with as an MC, but my biggest attraction to the class, honestly, was the opportunity for myself to learn how to make beats. I mean, I co-teach the class now. Mark Katz went on sabbatical after that first semester, and I began co-teaching the class with Apple Juice Kid this spring. But I'm just like the students in there figuring out how to use the software, and it's been great to see both sides of it.
Well, let's hear a clip of some music that you created during the lab. This one is called "It Doesn't Hurt a Bit." There's a little bit of "It Doesn't Hurt a Bit." Pierce, tell us a little bit about that. What goes into that? What part do you teach? Where do the kids, where do your students start? What do you bring to it?
Yeah, well, that was an interesting particular song that you chose was part of a project. So the class is split up into three sections. There's practical beat making. We teach entrepreneurship, and I teach like a history of hip hop and electronic dance music. But one of the entrepreneurial aspects of the curriculum is we have a big final project at the end of the semester. And two semesters ago, that final project was an album called Tar Heel Tracks, where we had students sample. We do sample-based beat making, and they sampled North Carolina-based artists. So that particular song, which was by our student Subdoodle, samples a local indie rock band called I Was Totally Destroying It. So he took the song, it's called Fight Flight, And he took the song, he chopped it up, you know, he laid new drums over it and kind of breathed new life into it. The same way that, you know, you hear a John Coltrane rearrange A Few of My Favorite Things and it's completely different in that Coltrane context. This is the subdoodle interpretation of a local North Carolina band. And, you know, it's something that, you know, it's a really fun experience to throw all our students and give them a fun, out-of-the-box, kind of quirky assignment and see what they come up with. And that was just a really good example.
An Apple Juice Kid, of course, you've had a lot of experience with this. I mean, you've worked with all kinds of artists and doing sampling and remixing, Miles Davis among them. And this whole business of creating from what is already present is, I think, something that probably doesn't get enough attention or respect. The idea that sampling is simply stealing somebody else's stuff, as though the song that came to you is, you know, full-blown, you know, your melody, you know, that sort of thing. Obviously, we're always sampling. To what extent do you teach this, and how much of this your class is more like a collaboration with the students? How does it work when you're teaching beat making and sampling?
Yeah, the only part that feels like teaching is probably the first couple weeks. After we all kind of speak the same language, and again, there's no prerequisite for the students to take this class. A lot of them come in from the business school. It's just a total, you know, eclectic mix. Yeah, so it immediately turns into collaboration. The students totally inspire me, as I'm sure we inspire them. And yeah, sampling is a huge part. I come from a jazz background, so the improvisational element of just taking whatever comes across your path, cutting and chopping it, to me feels like an extension of the jazz education I did get at UNC.
And how much of it is strictly compositional work? I mean, as though you were teaching composition. Is it like that, or is it much different?
Yeah, so we teach song form. We talk about, is this beat going to be for an artist? You know, do we need verses and choruses? Is it going to be more of a free form movement? There's, you know, different song forms we do teach. So it is a lot of composition. But once after the first, you know, month or two, the students have the basic tools under their belt, it turns into a collaboration. You know, one of the subdoodle actually co-produced a couple songs with me. A couple, they haven't been released yet, but one for Wale, another for Azalea Banks. So yeah, the students have enriched my life more than I considered.
I believe we're going to hear subdoodle's remix of the State of Things theme.
Well, we did it together.
You worked on that together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Django Haskins, Subdoodle, the Apple Juice Kid, all collaborate on the State of Things theme.
Exactly.
And we'll hear that at the end of the program. You also went to Congo. Tell us about that, and what was the idea behind taking the Beat Lab to the Congo?
Yes, so there's a new professor that got hired about a year ago, Cherie Rivers and Ndeliko. Her husband, Petna, have a nonprofit in the Congo called Yole Africa. And Mark Katz received the information from her that she would like the beatmaking lab to come do a program there. We are already considering doing a local beatmaking lab in the community outside the university. When she offered that to Pierce and I, we got immediately excited about going to the Congo, bringing this internationally, and started an Indiegogo campaign, got some support from the university. And we were in the Congo a few months later this past summer.
So what was that like, Pierce? What was the project, and kind of what was your experience there?
Yeah, the experience was amazing. I mean, Congo is a really, you know, it's a region that's where a lot of intense conflict has been going on for the past several decades. And so, you know, Yole Africa was kind of a cultural youth oasis in the midst of kind of this tumultuous kind of political space. And ecological space. There's a huge volcano there. There was a huge eruption there in 2001. So it was amazing. You know, the kids were resilient. The clothes that they were wearing were so fresh. The dialects of the you know, the merging of Swahili with French with English. I mean, it was so cool. And you can hear that in the music that we produced with them and in the songs that we made.
And I would think hip hop culture would be fair. I mean, it's an international culture there. Was it thriving in the Democratic Republic of Congo when you
came? Oh, man. Hip hop is thriving everywhere. But, you know, wherever you have young people, you're going to find someone that's into hip hop. A lot of the young people were MCs. They took to beat making very quickly. A lot of them were musicians and could play, you know, djembe or guitar. A lot of them could sing. the young people at Yole Africa. And it's an international cultural phenomenon. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest elements of hip hop that we saw in Congo was the dance. There's a lot of break dancers in DR Congo, and so the beats that we were making eventually became like a soundtrack for the dancers to rock too, which was amazing to see.
Brought all kinds of people together. I want to hear a sample of what you did. This one's called Zenga, and it is from the Congo Beat Making Lab. It's a little sample of Zenga, one of the beat-making lab projects in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Tell us about that song, Pierce.
Well, you didn't see us dancing here in the studio, but I mean, yeah. So that was really interesting. So the beat-making lab is a studio. It's an electronic music production studio that we built in Goma first for the students. But one of the amazing things that happened while we were there is there was this national Congolese artist named Flam Kapaya, who was there as a part of Yole Africa's annual summer festival. And Apple Juice Kid and Flam Kapaya locked themselves in the studio for 3-4 hours, you know, and we would peek in, and some of the students were running sessions. We were teaching them how to track vocals and how to track instruments. And then this beautiful song emerged out of this just amazing collaboration, which is one of the great things about the lab. Not only are we teaching students how to create their own beats, but anyone who wants to come in and create a song now has a space to do that in Goma, Congo. And I just think that's an awesome thing.
Because you left the lab behind, right?
Yes, that was an important part of the model, that we wanted to have this as sustainable as possible. And yes, there is a permanent lab in Goma.
So what's going on? Do you stay in touch, and what's happening there? And do you hear much out of it now that you're gone?
Yes. Unfortunately, we've heard bad news from Congo as the M23. If anyone's paid attention to the news, there's some conflict there currently. But, you know, our students there are safe. We've heard from them on a daily, if not weekly, basis. And they're continuing to make music. There's another song, Cho Cho Cho, that the students specifically made that we're real excited to release for free today, actually, along with this interview.
Well, tell us about that, too, because I know you're interested in some open source software that could help this become a kind of an international movement. So tell us more.
Yeah, that was born out of a necessity. We could not the sustainability piece hinged upon not having to pay a couple $100 per student. So right now there's just one lab, but if the software was free, we could have a lot of the students with laptops having it on their program, on their computers as well. So yeah, we are in the same city where Red Hat is and where Open Source was born, and opensource.com is a partner of ours. We're friends with a lot of the people who pioneered that movement and was just inspired to say, hey, we need the open source alternative. You know, if you can't afford this, then you should go try this program. So yeah, we're received a grant for this. We're right in the middle of coding this software.
And of course, the software is what helps you. I mean, this is where you do mixing, essentially. You put all the elements together and then...
It's where you create it. It's the instrument, really. You know, the computer and the software is like the Steinway piano.
Well, and follow up on that, Pierce, because again, I think there's a feeling that since computers do so much, they're making the music. But as the Apple Juice Kid said, this is really just another piece of technology. A piano is a piece of technology as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's the 21st century. You know, your iPad can become your notebook for writing a great novel or whatever. You know, it's just the tool is different, but the ingenuity, the creativity, the drive comes from the artist. And so we're just trying to nurture artists in this new kind of technological space.
Is there much internet access and a lot of any collaboration, you know, across borders now that the lab is up and people can actually produce a product?
The internet access is probably the biggest obstacle to us having a continued collaboration with our students in Congo. There is, but it's slower than the dial-up we used to have. And, you know, there are times where they can send things if they have to. So it is one of the challenges.
But to address that, we're in the process of the grant that we got was actually to develop an open source mobile app so we can try to get beat making on some mobile devices. It's a grant that we got from one of our partners, PBS. So we are in the process of kind of addressing that concern.
I wonder, I'm going to ask both of you this, but Pierce certainly of a popular group here, The Beast, everybody knows it. And you do very well. What did you learn? What's new for you as a result of just being part of this project, both here in Chapel Hill and in the DRC?
Yeah, I think what's new for me is just kind of collaborating in different spaces. We're building a beat-making lab similar to the one in the Congo in Panama this February, and The Beast is actually coming to Panama to be a part of that process. So, you know, in Goma, coming into a space where, you know, I don't speak French, I speak a little Swahili, kind of getting in there and learning that you can communicate with people through music, even if there are other kind of cultural barriers or language barriers. The first day we were there, we were having a freestyle session where everyone was improvising in their own language and bringing their own thing to the table. And that was a really rich experience that reminded me a lot of what it's like to be in a band like The Beast, where you have live musicians improvising and kind of collaborating.
So tell us a little bit. And so DRC, now Panama, and the world after this?
The world. I would, you know, have to say that this has totally shifted my idea and dream of what I can imagine is possible. Through having PBS as a partner, through a new venture with Reverb Nation called Music for Good, where we are one of the leading charities that will be the music can be donated to. It's really just opened the world up. You know, we've been making albums, making songs as musicians, and now we're really opened up our whole world to new possibilities.
We are so anxious to debut your remix of our theme that we actually previewed it just a second ago. I want to thank you both for being on the program. Apple Juice Kid, Stephen Levitin, and Pierce Freelon teach the Beatmaking Lab at UNC Chapel Hill. To learn more, go to beatmakinglab.com. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Man, thank you for listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow. State of Things theme, the remix.